To the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're making our way through this wonderful book. Pastor William kind of accentuated one area of the blessing of Abraham, the favor of God that is promised to us. But we're going to carry on where we left off in Galatians chapter 3. And maybe just kind of a word of warning. I thought we were going to do this in 6 weeks. But it's so wonderful. So we're going into extended time. All right, so I think we'll take a number of weeks to look at the case that Paul makes that we are free in Jesus and the life of freedom that he has called us to. And then we're going to kind of have a part two where it will be in chapters 5 and 6 is really how do we live in freedom, all right? And you know, it's an interesting thing that if even in the natural, sometimes when people are in prison for many, many years, they don't really know how to live as a free people. All right? And so we're no longer under the bondage of the law. We're free in Christ. We're free under grace. But how do we live a responsible life? And it's a really important question. And so we'll look at that in great detail as well. All right. So Galatians. Today we're going to see about the fact that we are blessed with Abraham. We're blessed with our father in the faith, and we're going to see that. And so if you've not been with us for some of these, the book of Galatians was written to a region, a number of different churches who were in trouble. Paul loved these people. He was the one that brought salvation, the message of salvation to them. He went back to help them get strong in their faith. But after he left, then some other people called Judaizers, who were born Jews, had become Christians, they were trying to put Gentile believers back under the law of Leviticus to say that is how you have to really be saved. All right, their message was Jesus plus circumcision is what is acceptable to God. And Paul is making an incredible defense of the message of the gospel. All right. And so the Judaizers were really so entrenched in their past culture and their past life that they couldn't really distinguish between what they thought was right and what the gospel was about. And that's a challenge that we all face, isn't it? All right. That sometimes what we are ingrained in our minds and our hearts and what seems normal sometimes is not what God considers normal when it comes to how do we run a family? How do we manage our finances? What decisions do we make? We go to God's word, amen? And we let the gospel transform us. So Galatians is about spiritual emancipation. It's about being a free person. And so Paul makes a great defense of his message and his apostleship because the Judaizers were attacking both of those things. All right, so let's pick up in chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, and when we were last looking at this, Paul makes some statements in Galatians 3, the first few verses, and he asks questions because he made a statement. Actually, if you go back, look at Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, and he said the same thing 3 times in one verse, which is, I find it just kind of interesting, all right? How many of you know parents, sometimes you have to be redundant, all right? The message doesn't get communicated the first time. Galatians 2:16, for we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. So that is one of the crucial elements of the gospel, is that we are born again, we're made righteous with God because we put our faith in Jesus and what he did, not by a system of works. Friends, that is the primary reason that Christianity is distinguished from all religions of the world. It is the chief characteristic that makes it different. And that is when you really understand every religion of the world, there is something that you have to do to make the deity happy. Ramadan. just finished, right? Church attendance, holiness, giving, all these things are done in order to appease God. Watched a documentary one time in the nation of Nepal, and people would crawl around a huge mountain on their hands and knees on rocks, and they'd be bleeding. Why? Because somehow that made the god happy. All right. When I was in Thailand, Buddhist country, and there'd be, you know, Buddha in the corner of the shops, and there would be incense, that somehow Buddha was happy with the incense. And there were oranges that they would put for Buddha. He never ate them. They just stayed up there. Okay, all these things that we do. And yet, so what God does in the gospel is he said, look, I gave you the law. I wanted it to show you that you're not right. You can't meet my standards. But I am going to, through Jesus Christ, have a man meet all of my holy standards and then die in your place. And you can accept that by faith. Freedom. Amen. All right. So that's why Christianity is completely, completely different from every other religion. All right. So we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:16, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. All right, so he makes this case. Then he asks them some questions in Galatians 3 and verse 1. Let's pick up his questions here in verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, what was the answer is by the hearing of faith. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? All right, so the answer to all these questions is all of these things happen through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so now he introduces someone, and this is going to be what we're going to look at today. He's going to introduce Abraham, all right? And he's going to make Abraham as an analogy of how someone can be declared righteous by God, not by obeying the law. All right, now the important thing about Abraham is Abraham lived hundreds of years before the Mosaic law. All right, so if you look at an Old Testament timeline, Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all right? And then after hundreds of years and the children of Israel were in Egypt, then Moses, God raised up Moses as a deliverer. They left Egypt, and on their journey to the promised land, that's when God gave them the law to govern Israel. All right? But yet Abraham was declared righteous by God through faith. All right? Before the law ever existed. All right? And so one of the points Paul is making is that just like that happened to Abraham, how much more does that happen to us? All right? In a sense, the Bible says that God credited it to Abraham. Abraham was considered righteous kind of like on a credit card. All right? It hadn't been paid for. Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. All right? But he trusted God. He believed that there would be a Savior, someone from his lineage. All right? So let's pick up this, Galatians 3 in verse 6. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. Everybody say the real children. All right. Have you ever been in a family situation where somebody was trying to tell you who the real children were and who were the not so much children? Okay. I've talked to different ones here at church in the last 13 years, and you know, we'll be talking about this and that. And I remember somebody I talked to one time, and they, you know, obviously we care about when funerals happen, those kinds of things. But this person one time told me, you know, there was a funeral for their dad, and then a few years later there was another funeral for their dad, and a few years later there was another funeral for their dad. Now I get it, all right, I've been here long enough, but there was only one real dad, right? The others were like dad or had the role of dad, all right? So who are the real children of Abraham? They are not Jews by birth. They are not those who come from DNA. They are not those who live in Israel, all right? Or who have a last name that, you know, ends in ITZ, all right? No, those aren't the real Jews. We are the real Jews. We are the real children of Abraham. We've been grafted into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? And I, this may not apply to everybody, but please don't allow people to tell you that you need to go back to your Jewish roots to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles, or to wear a prayer shawl, or to put a little thing on your head when you pray. You and I don't have Jewish roots. We have Jesus roots. Okay? We are the real children of Abraham. Now, there was a nation of Israel that helped the Messiah to come to pass. All right? And we need to love and understand the Old Testament. All right. And when we look in the book of Romans and we understand the Ezekiel and Daniel, God still has a plan for the Jewish nation. And in the end times, that will be coming to pass. All right. And so that's a really important thing. But, you know, when we visited Israel last year, my wife and I, it was so interesting. I mean, it was fascinating. We didn't go home. Oh, I just feel like I've come home. No, to be honest, Zambia is more pretty than Israel. It's a lot of rocks, and it's really hot, at least when we went, all right? Your roots are in Jesus Christ. That is your spiritual heritage, all right? Now, Abraham, in a sense, was the one who started all of this for us, all right? He's our father in the faith. All right, but we don't need to go back and sing Jewish music. This was a really big deal. If you were a Christian in the 80s, charismatic Christians, we'd come to church and we'd have Jewish praise and worship. Hi-yi-yi-yi. Don't need to do that. All right? Hallelujah. If I've made you mad, I love you anyway. All right? Okay. But it is really, really clear in the New Testament that is something that is not necessary, that we don't need to do. All right, let's pick up in verse 8. What's more, the Scriptures looked forward to the time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous. How? Because of their faith. God proclaimed all this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Everybody say, same blessing. Same blessing. All right, so we're going to understand, what is that same blessing? How does it apply? Now, how did it happen? Because of faith. All right, so in the same way that Abraham believed and God credited it to him for righteous, he was counted righteous because of what he believed. All right? That happens to us. All right? Now, another thing that Paul mentions is, and he's referring to Genesis chapter 12. If you want to turn there with me, turn to Genesis chapter 12. All right? Genesis chapter 12. He's referring to a time when God brought Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, all right? He grew up as an idol worshiper, but God chose him and said, "You're going to leave your country, take your family with you, all right? And Genesis 2, 12, verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. All right? Notice that that is always a part of the plan of God for his people. I will bless you. We really like that part, don't we? All right? But there's another part to it. We are blessed and we are a blessing. All right, it's very hard to be a blessing when you don't have a blessing to give. All right, so he blesses us because he loves us, we're his kids, but then he wants that blessing to go through us to others. All right, we are blessed and we are a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And listen to this. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Everybody say all the families. All the families. All right. Now, one of the things that was happening in the time of Galatia, all right, and it happens today too, is that we tend to not be as interested in all the families. Who are we more interested in? Our family. How do we tend to kind of watch the news and interpret the news? How? Through our family perspective. All right? This has happened all over the world. It is not a Zambian problem. You know, people talk about, you know, well, you know, there's tribalism. There's been tribalism for 6,000 years. It is a human condition that we tend to see things only from our perspective, all right? And so the Jews were interested in the Jews, all right? They didn't like the Samaritans. Remember James and John? They wanted to kill the Samaritans because they were half-bred Jews, all right? They weren't like us. Peter didn't like to hang out with Gentiles because why? Because they were different. They were weird. They were strange, all right? You don't have to say anything to your neighbor at this time. Okay. Now, here's a really sad thing. And it has happened all through world history. Is that people have attempted to use the Bible. They've tried to use the Bible to show their superiority to other groups. To other families. All right, and they'll try to find some reference to themselves, and they'll try to make some reference to other people. This group is cursed, or this one is not. Of course, I'm always the blessed one, right? And they try to, whether it's my family, or whether it's my nationality, or race, or gender. How many know there's a lot of folks around the world that will try to use the Bible to make males superior to females? Some of you men are looking at me funny. How many know we are one in Christ? All right. God created them. The Bible, Genesis says he created them in his image. He didn't create Adam in just his image. You're going to go back to Genesis and read that because you're not sure. All right. But all world history, things like slavery, the Holocaust, apartheid, the Rwandan genocide, all of these things, there were people that were trying to use the Bible to justify that it's my family. It's not your family, it's my family. All right? And God says the blessing of Abraham is that all the families of the earth will be blessed. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, When we look at some of these incredible atrocities in the world, and I think it's important that we're aware of them, because the problem is you and I, we're still capable of that. That's the sad thing, all right? We're still capable of that kind of stuff. Sometimes we look at that and we look past, you know, we look at other countries or we look into past and we just kind of shake our heads, you know? How could that be? All right? It's a real interest to me, all right? But the fact is, sometimes we don't look closer to home, right? I said, well, thank God in Zambia we've never had a Rwandan genocide. Hallelujah. Well, but some of you have used this word. I will never allow someone, a blank, to rule me. A blank to rule me. Someone from that part of the country will never rule me. Now I've heard you said it. Amen? And you carry a Bible. And you give your tithe. Huh? But one of the blessings is through Abraham, all right, and it is through his seed, that is Jesus, all right, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And one of the things that we see in the book of Revelation is that when John got a glimpse of the throne of God, the Lamb of God, around that throne, people were worshiping from every tribe, every nation, every tongue on earth. And they were not segregated. They were not separated. And what did Jesus pray? Father, I pray that your will, as it is in heaven, shall it be on the earth. As it is in, see, the will of God is seen in heaven, and God wants heaven on earth. No separation, no segregation, no special camps in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know how God organizes heaven. I don't know. All right? But maybe, you know, in our neighborhoods in heaven, you know, maybe there'll be a captain in heaven. And just for God, because he has a sense of humor, he made a giraffe. He has a sense of humor. Okay? So while you're on the down on this earth, a blank will never rule me. You get to heaven and they're going to be your neighborhood captain. Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, we tend to do this, but when we come into the kingdom, when we see things from a gospel lens, what do we say? I, because of my family, my background, my nationality, my race, I am not superior. But here's the other cool thing. I'm also not inferior. I'm not above, nor am I below. Amen. We are made brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says that he made us, not just me, he made us to sit together with Christ. We're all seated together in Christ. We're baptized in the same water. We eat the same communion. Amen. And so God invites us to believe this. Amen. And that's why I love this church. One of the reasons I love this church is because we are diverse on purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. I know some of your relatives get mad. Oh, you go to that Mzungu church. I don't. Hallelujah. So we're created in God's image. And this is what the gospel says. We're all created in God's image. But the other thing the Bible says is we've all sinned. We're all in need of a Savior. It is not any part of our heritage that makes us better or that really makes us worse. I love what the Message Bible says in Romans 3. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat together in need of a Savior. And in God's family, we're all joint heirs. We're all in the family of God. All right. So he says, I'll through Abraham, all the families will be blessed. All right. Let's pick this up in verse 10 in Galatians 3. All right. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. All right. Now, what's Abraham's curse? What is this curse thing? All right. Well, the Old Testament was very clear. And let's look at a couple scriptures. All right. You can write these down. You can turn to them. Deuteronomy 27, at the very, very end, all right, Moses has now given the law, all of the regulations, all of God's expectations. the code, all right? And so he's given it to them. And now he's making some summary statements about it. So at the very end of Deuteronomy 27, 26, he says, "Cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the terms of these instructions." Cursed. And all the people will reply, "Amen." All right, no, you don't have to say amen. They were supposed to say amen. Okay. All right, so if you didn't obey the law, all right, doesn't affirm them and obey the terms, then you are under a curse. All right, then Deuteronomy, the very next chapter, all right, if you were able to obey all of the law, whoa, there was a blessing, and there were terms of those blessings, all right, and they were for your family, they were for your business, they were for your body, for your what God was going to do in your barn and your fields and all these different things, the fruit of the womb, all right? But if you didn't obey, then all the opposite was going to happen, okay? Deuteronomy 28:15, "But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you." Okay, so under the old covenant, when things were going badly, you only had one place to look, and that was your law adherence. All right? So when there was a drought, or when something was wrong in the family, or things weren't going right in the field, you would okay, who forgot to pay the tithe? Junior, did you eat bacon? Okay. Because somebody messed up somewhere. All right? Because if we're following God's law, boom, all these blessings happen. They just happen. They just happen to me. All right? But so I could very biblically infer that when things were wrong, somebody messed up. All right? And so you began an inspection. All right? And you began to see, and that was really many of the messages of the prophets of the Old Testament, was things were messed up, and it was a calling back to God and a calling back to the law. All right? In many instances, there were generations that they hadn't even heard the law. And they kind of had to blow the dust off of it, and they'd read it, and people would repent, and they'd come back to God, and what? Then his hand of blessing would come back. All right, now, folks, that's how it used to operate. And it is really sad that many Christians, under a new and better covenant, we see we have different terms. How do we come to God now? We come to God through faith, right? Faith in God. That when the cat dies, when you get a flat tire, what did I do? Ah, I knew I should have gone to worship night. You begin to do a self-inspection of where you missed it. Okay, that is taking an old covenant mentality into the new covenant. All right, and it doesn't work that way anymore, folks. Okay, so I disobeyed, I missed a month tithing, I yelled at my spouse, therefore the curse came into my life. All right? That's why these bad events took place. All right? That's an Old Testament mentality. That's an Old Covenant thinking. All right? Witchcraft and animism thinking is, who cursed me? Because I'm righteous, I'm pretty awesome, it couldn't have been my fault, but who's out? Who's out to get my husband? You know? Fire, right? No, we need to have a biblical mentality, folks. We need to have a biblical mentality. Okay, so now in the new covenant, we are no longer in covenant or out of covenant based on our law adherence. All right, now, Please come for the last part of this, because we're going to talk a lot about what we do as free people and how it affects our life. Because in the same book of Galatians, it says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap death and corruption. All right. Not that God takes his hand off your life. Mm-mm. If you sow to the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, you live like that, ooh, you're going to reap another kind of harvest. All right, so living as free people, we begin to plant different seeds for our future. We begin to live a different type of lifestyle. All right, so my works are a product of my faith. All right, they bless me, they bless other people. All right, they are no longer what I present to God to show him that I'm in covenant. All right, I don't have a checklist to show him, we're good, God, right? No, I come by the blood of Jesus. I come by a new and living way, which he made for us. Amen? All right, so we're blessed with Abraham because of faith in Jesus, not because of good things that we've done. All right? So let's go back to what Paul was writing here. Verse 11, so it is clear. Verse 11, so it's clear. I hope it's clear. Paul set it up kind of a number of different ways, different angles. So it's clear no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law, for the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different. Everybody say very different. Okay, it's very different. Which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. All right, so it is the redemptive work of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That is life. Jesus, remember when he said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life. All right, if life was going to come through the law, he didn't need to come. We would have had God's abundant life, but we weren't experiencing it, so Jesus came. All right, verse 13. All right, now we get into some real cool stuff. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Another translation says, redeemed us. He's redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. Now, first of all, let's ask ourselves the question, what was that curse? All right. Notice it says the curse, not the curses. All right, Deuteronomy 28, there are many signs of that and fruits of that. But the curse of the law is this. You don't measure up. You are not good enough for God. You have failed to meet his holy, righteous standard. All right, so that is the curse. That is the message of the law. All right. The Bible says, Paul said somewhere else, he said that the law was given to show that we're guilty. All right? I hope you got the memo. All right? Many of us have had that epiphany. We've had that realization that in my own strength and apart from Jesus, I can't measure up. There is no good thing that dwells in me apart from God. All right. So the law, the Bible says, the law brought us to Christ. All right. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. All right. So we no longer have to hear, the Bible calls it a message of death, the law, that Leviticus says, Walker, you're not good enough. Walker, you haven't measured up enough. All right. That's no longer the message. The message is now Jesus saying, I'm your intercessor. I'm praying for you. I'm standing for you. My blood has covered your sins. It's made you a son, a daughter. You're now able to come to God. That's the message, because we've been redeemed from the old system. All right? When he was hung on the cross, this is what happened. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For our wrongdoing. For it is written in scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. All right? And that's actually Deuteronomy chapter 21. Okay? And I'll just read it to you real quickly. Deuteronomy 21:22. If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging from the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for everyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. Why? Because of that sin, because of that capital crime that they committed. All right. In this way, you will prevent the defilement of the land the Lord your God has given you as his special possession. All right. So the death that Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't a Jewish way of executing people. All right. It was a Roman way. All right. But Paul and others recognized this as messianic prophecy that Jesus was hung. He died in a way, and it was a cursed way to die. And when he became the curse, he became the curse not for his own sins. You remember what the thief on the cross said? Hey, buddy, why don't you don't talk like that. We are here because of what we've done wrong. This man has done nothing wrong. All right? He recognized that an innocent person was dying. And it wasn't a travesty of justice. It was God's plan. It was God's plan that Jesus took the curse for us because he became sin. And think about this, friends, not just your sin. But he went back to Adam and he gathered all the sins that mankind had ever done, every single person, and God placed that upon him. Just like the scapegoat of the Old Testament, that you would lay your hand and the sin would be transferred to that goat and they would bear the sins of the people. And Jesus, by the miraculous plan of God, he reached into 2017 and 18 and however long we're going to live here, however long this earth is going to last, he reached into the future and he gathered all of the sin of 7 billion people on planet Earth. Have you read the news? It's a lot of sin. And he placed it on his son. And that's why in that moment, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's the answer to that question? It was your sin that held him there until it was accomplished. What was accomplished? The wrath of God was satisfied. Because God is our Father and God is love. But the Bible makes it very, very clear. He is the righteous judge of the earth. I don't think he wears a white wig, all right? But he is the righteous judge of the earth. And he is a God of justice. And he can't just say, forget about it. No, somebody has to pay the price. And so Jesus did that. He took the curse of us not being good enough. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. All right, let's keep reading. All right, this is Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Through Jesus Christ. Everybody say, through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, notice your name is not there. It is not through you. It is not through your church attendance. It is not through you tapping the anointing of your spiritual father. It is not through your prayer life. It is through Jesus, Christ Jesus. God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. See, this is why you don't have to be circumcised. This is why you don't have to refrain from pork. See, the blessing doesn't come through law adherence. The blessing comes through Christ Jesus. The same blessing promised to Abraham. So that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit. How? Through faith. Through faith. All right, so Jesus has rescued the penalty. Isaiah 53 says the penalty that brought us peace was upon him, not upon you, upon him. All right, so the other thing you have to understand, if you think that your cat died because you're a bad person, you don't understand the wrath of God. If God was mad at you and was going to be judging you, you would not be here today. All right, look at the judgments of the Old Testament. The earth opens up and swallows them, and they go into Sheol. And then it stops, comes back, and then Moses said, all right, who else wants to criticize Moses today? That's the one part of the Old Testament. I wish we could go back. No, I'm just kidding. All right. No, not really, not really. Okay. But God would pour out wrath upon, and there were times where in the Old Testament, the sin had to be judged in the body of the sinner. Amen. The fact that you and I are alive and breathing God's air shows the very mercy and the forbearance of God. That we are even alive today. Let alone that he would come and say, I've traded places, you and Jesus, and now you get to be in my family. And I'm going to bless you just like I blessed Abraham. Amen? All right. So, the blessing is the blessing of right standing. All right. Now, that blessing is where all the other blessings come from. All right. Colossians says that he has qualified us for all of the inheritance. All right. If you've ever received an inheritance, one of the things you realize is that you didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. That's called a gratuity. All right. Or a pension. All right. You actually worked for something and then you got what was coming. All right. An inheritance, you just showed up. You just were on someone's will. Amen. Or they didn't have a will and then you just fought at the funeral house for what you thought was yours. Okay. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, have a will. Be like God. See, God has a will. He wants people to know what's theirs. All right, have a will. All right. Tell your neighbor you're going to die. It's in the Bible. All right, okay. All right. So we have, there's a new way, there's a new way that we walk in the blessing of Abraham, all right? It is through faith, all right? And Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessing is righteousness, but then there are blessings for, in those days, the people of God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, all right? You can only be in one of two places, right? All right, so wherever you are, you're blessed. Your body, the fruit of your body, the increase of your herds, the offspring, your basket, your kneading bowl. All right. Your barns will be filled with plenty. All right. If you don't have a savings account, God can't bless your barn. So get a savings account so God can bless your barn. All right. That's what you don't need every day. All right. He'll establish you as his holy people. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord. All right. He'll grant you plenty of goods, the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock. All right. So there was a whole lot that came through being God's covenant people. All right. Now, Hebrews says that we have a new and better covenant, a new and better covenant. And there are some that would like us to believe that when we have a new and better covenant, that the only blessings that we have are spiritual blessings. How many know spiritual blessings are awesome? We have forgiveness. We have soundness of mind. So all of these spiritual blessings are wonderful. And we should walk in them and know them and appropriate them in our lives. All right. But the Old Testament was very clear. There were also material blessings, physical blessings, things for everyday life. All right, now, if someone, let's say you're driving a car and it has a radio, all right, it has air con, and you push a button and the windows go down, right? Power windows. All right, so you've got a car like that. But it's kind of getting old, and somebody says, hey, I've got a new and better car. A new and better car. So they come and they drop it off. No radio. You've got to roll down the windows and push it as you roll it. Did you ever have, I had a car like that. You had to push it and roll it at the same time. All right. And there's no air con. It might be new, but it is not better. All right. In order for us to have a new and better covenant, everything that's in the old one has to be in the new one, plus more. Plus more. So if it's in the old covenant as a blessing, it's in our blessing. Why? Because we are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed through Jesus Christ. Now, is that the only part of it? No. But it is an element of it. Amen. God wants us to have enough. He wants us to be a great blessing to others. All right. There is soundness for our body. There's a family blessing upon our kids. Amen. That's part of the blessing. All right. Now, Paul then kind of closes this thought with what he says. Let me use a real life example for you. Okay. I want to read it to you from the Message Bible, Galatians 3:15. Friends, let me give you an example from everyday affairs of the free life I am talking about. Once a person's will has been ratified, okay, so it is signed and it's endorsed, and so now it's a legal document, no one else can annul it or add to it. Isn't that correct? Lawyers in the house? Is that still right? Okay, so only the person who wrote it can change it. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendant. You will observe that Scripture, in the careful language of a legal document, does not say to descendants, referring to everybody in general, but to your descendant. The noun note is singular, referring to Christ. In this way, I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled by an addendum attached 430 years later. Speaking of Moses' law. Therefore, negating the promise of the will. No. This addendum with instructions and regulations has nothing to do with the promised inheritance of the will. So there was a promise that was made to Abraham that through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. All right. And that when he believed God, he was made righteous. He was credited to him. All right. You and I are actually made the righteousness of God. All right. Let's keep reading. Verse 21. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Only by believing. Now, the last time we were together, we saw that Paul also made this statement. If you started this journey believing Jesus, him changing your life, well, how do we continue? We go back to a system of No. How do we do this? We keep believing Jesus. Well, Jesus, I've got a problem today. I've got a situation in my life. I've got this temptation. I've got this family issue. What do? We look to him. We believe in him. We put our eyes on him. Amen. So the fullness of these promises are for us today through Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, Hebrews says, that the blood of Jesus today, it speaks. It speaks. All right. And that when Cain killed his brother Abel, remember the Bible says that Abel's blood spoke. All right. And God heard, and that, again, that's the justice of God. All right, that there was a crime, something needs to be done about it. But what the blood of Jesus, it speaks something better than Abel's blood. You see, Abel's blood says you're guilty. Abel's blood says something needs to be done to you about the problem. The blood of Jesus speaks you're innocent, you're righteous, you're a child of God. Do I still have issues? Absolutely. But we deal with our issues at the throne of God. Jesus, our advocate, the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Amen. And he says, lo, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so in the Old Testament, you had a reason to run. You had a reason to hide. You had a reason to try to get some garments and sew fig leaves. But here now we're covered in the blood of Jesus. We're made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And we can come boldly in the time of need. Amen. And so this morning, I believe that God wants to provide for people who will look to him in faith. And there's a number of different people I believe God wants to minister to today. So shall we bow our heads and just let God touch some lives and bless some people today? Father, we thank you so much. Father, that this gospel, this thing that you did in Christ, God, Father, it's so different than the natural world that we live in. Father, it's so different than all of the human, man-made, fig leaf-based religions of this earth, God. Father, may we never think that they're all the same, they're all paths to you. We just call you by a different name. Father, we bow our knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. There is only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And Father, I pray right now for any Christian that is in this place, God, that has been trying to fix their life without Jesus, been trying to make things right without Jesus. Father, thank you that we can be frustrated in those human efforts, and they would bring us to the cross and bring us to our Savior. And Christians, right now, I want you to connect with Jesus. I want you to put your eyes on him. I want you to picture going to God's throne because you're his son, you're his daughter. Receive the help. Receive the mercy. Receive the grace that you need for whatever that looks like in your life. Paul said to another group of people, he said that the scriptures declare, and we read this, that every single person is a prisoner of sin. Many, many of us in this room today, we've been let out of that prison. Thank God. Jesus led us out in victory. But if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, friend, the Bible makes it very clear you are a prisoner. You're a prisoner. You may be driving a 4x4, but you're a prisoner. You may have money in your bank account, but you're a prisoner. You may be married. People might respect you, but you're a prisoner of sin. And all the good things cannot get you out. It's only the blood of Jesus. It's only the freedom that he has purchased for you. See, it doesn't happen through some type of religious ceremony, but a heartfelt relationship with Jesus Christ. When you say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, I need you. I bow my knee to you, Jesus. Come into my life, forgive my sins. Friend, if that's never happened to you, oh, I invite you today, get out of that prison. Let go of those shackles. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and you can be free. Maybe you are a child of God, but in a sense you've gone back to living as a prisoner, living in sin and living a life that is clearly not what God wants for you. And today you know, I need to come home to my Father like the prodigal son. If that's you, you can come home. You can receive him today. We're going to pray and God is going to minister to you right now. If that's you, you're here today and you say, Pastor Walker, the Bible says it and I believe it, but boy, today is my last moment in that jail. I'm coming out. I'm going to let Jesus Christ forgive me. I'm going to let him change me on the inside. I'm coming back to my Father from a place of sin and rebellion. If that's you and you're saying yes to him right now today, lift up your hand real, real high. Just lift it up real, real high and say, that's me. I need to be born again. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you over here. Who else? Say, that's me. That's me. I need to be born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyone else before we pray? Over here. Oh, thank you so much. There's a whole life that you never knew existed until you come out of that jail. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you there in the back. Thank you. Let's all, everybody, stand to your feet. Those of you that lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have lifted up my hand. What I'd ask you to do is grab your Bible, your belongings, whatever you came to church with right now, and just come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray. God is going to do a miracle in your life. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Amen. Coming out of that old life. Taking a step to bless you. Bless you. Right here. Anyone else? You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. You say, that's me. I need to know Jesus.